We want to welcome you to our Sunday evening broadcast. We do sincerely want to thank you for watching. This is the second week of our annual testimony month. We're just going to have a brief word of prayer to commence. Just ask the Lord's blessing upon the broadcast, the testimony that will be given. So let's just pray together. Father, we seek thee. We're glad that we can enter into your presence. Give to us a greater spirit of prayer. Our cry is that you'll lead us on with thyself. Lead us on, Father, as a congregation, especially at the throne of grace. Answer our prayers in these days. We pray especially bless these testimonies as they're broadcast. We thank you, Father, for overruling this year, that these testimonies are going forth to a far greater audience, far greater number of people than generally has been the case. We pray that you'll use them, even as they're listened to all around the world. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll bless them, save souls through the testimonies that will be given. Encourage the Lord's people who have loved ones still out of Christ. Give them hope, even to pray on for the salvation of that dear one. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll lead young people even into the service of Christ. We thank you for our brother Andrew, who will testify tonight. Thank you for his call to missionary work. Thank you for his labours for Christ. May his life and testimony this evening challenge some young person to surrender their life in the service of the Master. Remember the Fosters. We do pray for Andy, Hannah, little Rachel. At this time, watch over them. Think of all the frustration of this time of furlough. But our prayer is that you'll encourage them, bless them, and meet their every need. Remember the work of God in Uganda. Our sister Noreen, Lord, be near to her, strengthen her, sustain her with the heavy workload that she's carrying. Just at this time, watch over the school. And Lord, make that school a mighty centre of God's blessing, even in coming days. So give us help now. We just commit this broadcast, every part of it, into your hands now, praying your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reminded just of the words of the Apostle Peter. They're very relevant as we think of the testimony month, the words of testimony that will be given. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." It's a good thing to give your testimony. As Christians, as Peter says, we should always be ready to do that, not just in public meetings such as this, not just in a manner that it's recorded and broadcast. We understand that not everyone feels that they have the ability to do that. But remember, you could give your testimony personally to your neighbours in the place where you work. We want you to think about that and pray about that. Your testimony can be a means of witnessing for the Lord. So we do pray that our testimony month, as you hear these testimonies week by week, they might challenge you to give and use your testimony in the service of the Master. Next Sabbath evening, our very good friend and brother, the Reverend Alan Smiley, minister of the Ballygown Church, will be testifying for us, so keep that in mind. And then the following week, the last Lord's Day evening of this testimony month, Miss Margaret Russell, veteran missionary to the land of Kenya, now back in Northern Ireland, retired. She's still helping out a little with the work at present. We're very thankful for that, but looking forward to Margaret's testimony as well. Keep these in mind, tell others about them, and pray the Lord will bless and use them. Tonight we have our young brother, Mr. Andrew Foster, missionary to Uganda, who will be testifying for us. Andrew belongs to the Cumber congregation. His wife Hannah comes from Holland. They both met at the New Tribes Bible College. They're now home on furlough. They're seeking to report on the work of God that they're doing there in Uganda. But it has been a very challenging, very frustrating time for them, as many of their meetings have been cancelled. Many of those meetings have to be rearranged. So we ask you just to remember them in that. Back in November, there's a very happy occasion for the Fosters. They had the birth of their first child, little Rachel. We're delighted for them. in that. We're glad that little Rachel is doing so well. So we just ask you tonight to remember the Fosters. Pray that the Lord will bless them. Pray the Lord will encourage them. Pray the Lord will use them, even through this time of furlough. And he'll use them in an even greater way in the years that lie ahead. So our brother Andy's going to come and just give his testimony for us now. And as he does that, our prayer is that it will challenge others, especially young people, to dedicate their lives, lay their lives down on the altar of God for future service on the mission field as well.
I would like to start off by thanking the Reverend McMillan and the session for the opportunity to share my testimony. I thank the Lord that I have a testimony to give, and I would like to testify of how the Lord saved me, how the Lord called me, and how the Lord has led me in recent years. I think it is fair to say that I had a privileged upbringing. I grew up attending Bangor Independent Christian School, and as a family we attended Newton Arch Free Presbyterian Church, and I was sent along faithfully to the Sunday School and to the children's meetings. I thank the Lord that my conversion was early in life. The Lord used a childhood friend to speak to me of my need of the Saviour. It was just before my sixth birthday. I remember the farm. There were four of us that used to play together after school. And I remember the Lord using one of the boys to speak to me about my need of the Saviour. I remember realising that because I was a sinner, I needed to be saved. I remember being in the kitchen and sitting on the kitchen worktop being counselled by my friend's mother. And later that night I remember putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the joy and peace of knowing that I would go to heaven, and as I understood it then, one day spending forever with God. As I grew up and entered my early teens, I got to the stage where I had the desire to read the Bible for myself. To my shame though, as I read truth, I failed to live out what I knew to be right. I lived the way I wanted and sought happiness in the things of this world. When I had finished my studies, I ended up choosing a full-time job in construction. Thankfully, I was still attending church, I was still reading my Bible, but sadly, God wasn't first in my life. I had set my focus on the things of this world, things like a career, a nice car, and the hope of a nice house. By the time I was 25, I had been running my own business for a few years. Primarily, I took on handyman-type jobs. Sometimes, I renovated property. At one stage, I remember thinking, what am I doing? I had a van for work, I had two sports cars in my parents' driveway for fun, and I also had a motorbike. All seemed, on the outside, to be going fine, but the reality was totally different. Work had started to dry up, the toys had to go, and it was then in my mid-20s that the Lord really showed me my selfishness. I hadn't been living for Him, I had been living for the things I hoped would make me happy, and I had largely been praying for those things. When I think back now, I realise that I was even asking the Lord for those things to be His will for my life. And so the Lord started to show me the lack of love that I had had for Him, and He brought me to my knees in tears. In Northern Ireland, we kind of pretend that grown men don't cry, but I remember at different times weeping because I truly felt like I had my life had no real purpose. I had worked hard and earned all these things, but the truth was that none of them were making me happy. As the cars, the business, and my dreams disappeared one by one, it didn't really bother me that much. I wasn't that bothered at the loss of everything I had. I was just so convicted about how empty they made me feel. I was convicted about how I had been putting them before God, and I was convicted that I shouldn't be seeking my joy in the things of the world. And for the first time, I truly understood what the Apostle Paul meant in Philippians 3 verse 8 when he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Everything was now but loss for me. This word loss in Philippians has the emphasis of that which is a bad deal. I knew I had chosen the bad deal. Here I was living to find joy in the wrong things. I knew I had chosen the wrong thing. And let me tell you, there was no joy, because the happiness that I did find in them was always short-lived. The flesh always wanted something else, bigger and better. But Paul says he counts the things of this world as dung, And the word for dung in the Greek has the emphasis of that which is good for nothing, something which is only really fit for being thrown away. And I remember thinking everything that I was living for was useless. It had no eternal value. It wouldn't matter how many nice cars I had, or what house I might one day own, or how well I succeeded in my career. If it was not for the glory of God, it was all in vain. And so now, thinking about things of eternity, having contemplated what I was living for, I knew the Lord was changing me. I started to help out at the youth work in church, and then I started to attend the midweek prayer meeting. About a year later, the Lord started to challenge me with short-term missions. It was one of those missionary nights at the prayer meeting. Norman McCready came, and all I really remember about what he said was that he was challenging us to live for the Lord. And I knew before the meeting was over that the Lord wanted me to use my skills practically on the next possible mission trip. And with the Lord having his sovereign hand over all things, within a few weeks I was part of the team who were going to Burkina Faso in Africa. We worked for two or three weeks, and before we came home, all I knew was that the Lord was burdening me with a desire to do more. I knew that helping out only for a few weeks in the year wasn't the Lord's plan for the rest of my life. And so I started to pray about what the Lord would have me do longer term. The thoughts going through my head were, I'm practical and not much of a speaker. How would the Lord use me? I went on a few more short term trips, but it never felt like enough. I just knew the Lord was challenging me to serve him full time. And I used verses I had learned as a child to call me into full time service. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so I want tonight to encourage all parents, grandparents, or Sunday school teachers who teach God's word to keep teaching truth, because the Lord will use it for his name's sake. It wasn't long before Norman encouraged me to go over to a conference in England, and during that weekend conference I was presented with the need for practical workers with New Tribes Mission. This challenged me into full-time service, and I ended up working as a builder with NTM for 2 years, firstly in the Philippines and then in Papua New Guinea. They were good times, hard times, and blessed times, but I got the opportunity to serve the Lord in some of the remotest parts of the world, sometimes going where white man hadn't gone before. I can truly say I never imagined children coming up to me and squeezing me or licking their finger and wiping me to see if the white man was real or painted. I never imagined having to wash in rivers, live in tents, watch out for pirates on the sea, or having to hike through the jungle to find other villages. I never imagined building mission houses in tribal villages and helping missionaries take the gospel to the remotest parts of the world. But you know, today I can say praise the Lord for the great things he has done. He is building his church. And looking back, I have heard reports of those who have made professions in those tribal locations. And in some of those places, churches have been established. And so tonight, I am not just a living example that God saves sinners, but that God transforms lives and that God uses the weak things. And so all I can really say is, to God be the glory. It really is a privilege to be a part of his work. After serving the Lord with NTM for 2 years, I knew the Lord's leading to come home to Bible school. But as I started New Tribes Mission Bible School, I realized that I would not be serving the Lord with NTM. The Lord had other plans for me with our own Free Presbyterian Church mission. And not only was that a big change, but before I left NTM Bible School, I met Hannah and started to pray about whether it was God's will for me to marry her. Thankfully, the Lord gave clear direction in both matters. Hannah was the one, and Uganda was the destination. So after Bible school in England and a year at the Whitfield, I left for Uganda 3 years ago. And when I think about it now, so much has happened since then. I'm thankful the Lord protected me from a snake in the house, and the Lord worked everything out for our wedding day, even though Hannah and I were thousands of miles apart. I'm thankful he kept both of us from a head-on collision in Uganda. I'm thankful when I had problems with my hand, God brought me through surgery and my hand has healed really well. I'm thankful he has blessed us with lots of help and support from people coming to Uganda or even giving their expertise over the phone. I'm thankful God has answered prayer, both yours and ours, for us and the work in Uganda. And I'm thankful for the opportunities that we have had to present the gospel, for the professions that have been made, and for all that we have been able to do and accomplish practically for him there. And if I had to sum up how things have been over the past 3 years, I would say busy and difficult. But the Lord has always been faithful. He has always been with us every step of the way. Hannah and I are very grateful to the Lord for bringing us home for furlough as planned during COVID-19, especially because Hannah was pregnant. At times it wasn't easy, and we really had to hold on to the promises of God that we could trust him, that we didn't need to lean on our own understanding, and that he would prepare the way. And we are grateful today that we did get home safely, and now we have a beautiful baby girl. And so not only is God faithful, God is good. A child is a precious gift from God, and when you have the little one first placed into your hands, you are literally overwhelmed. And many of you who have had children of your own will remember how special that kind of experience is, and what a gift it is to have a little life placed into your hands. But you know, as amazing as it is, in all honesty, there is nothing compared to being born again. How amazing is it to have your sins forgiven, to have a relationship with the one and only true God, to have assurance that you are saved because salvation is all of God, to know that you deserve hell, but now you will spend eternity in heaven, to know God has adopted you and therefore made you one of his children. Or what about experiencing real joy, or experiencing genuine peace, or having a purpose which is so important that it is a matter of life and death, or knowing God is with you every moment of every day, and that you have the opportunity to grow in your relationship with the Lord as you read and pray. The list could be much bigger, but to be born again, to have spiritual life, to know your soul is saved, is so much more important than any physical life, even my daughter's. And so I wonder tonight, as you hear about how the Lord has saved me and guided me and taken me all over the world in service for him, I wonder, are you saved? Are you experiencing anything like what I am talking about? If you are, I trust you will live for him and seek to tell others about who the Lord Jesus is and what he has done for you. But if you're not saved, I sit here tonight not because of anything I have done, but because of what God has done for me and in me. You see, sin has a cost. Sin has a debt that must be paid. And God loved me so much, he sent the Son to die on the cross that my sin would be washed away. But what about you tonight? Can you say that Christ is your Saviour? Can you say that you have repented of your sin and that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope that you can, and that each and every day you thank the Lord for all his goodness and kindness to you. But if you can't, then I urge you to get right with the Lord before it is too late. Scripture says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That I am refers to Jesus. And friend, not only do you need to hear that you need to be saved, but you must understand tonight that Jesus is the only way. It says in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder tonight, do you have eternal life? Are your sins forgiven? Are you willing to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know I need you as my Saviour. Please save me. I pray that you will. Amen.